Alibaba's secondary listing in Hong Kong becomes the year's biggest stock market debut. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. It's been a big day for the Chinese e-commerce giant.
3, 2, 1,
that's the gong signaling the start of trade for Alibaba in Hong Kong. Shares popped as much as 7%, raising at least $11 billion. This is the firm's second listing. It debuted on the New York Stock Exchange 5 years ago in what was then the world's biggest ever flotation. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani then explains why Alibaba was interested in another listing.
Well, the company was quite clear in its prospectus. It says that it wanted to list in Hong Kong before it listed in the United States, and because of technical reasons over share ownership structures at the time, it went to the US first. Now Alibaba says it's effectively coming home, and when it looks at what it's going to do with the money that it's raising, it says it wants to use those funds to help it win over competition in the fiercely competitive Chinese market, as well as boost some of its newer businesses like cloud computing, for instance, which is becoming an increasingly profitable part of what the firm does.
Now, is this listing a feather in Hong Kong's cap? Will it encourage other companies to list in the city despite the ongoing pro-democracy protests?
That's certainly the suggestion. There's been some speculation that Alibaba chose to list now under pressure from the Chinese government to take away and shift the headlines from the protests on the streets to what's going on at the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. Alibaba, of course, says the decision has been purely commercial and financial. Will it attract more Chinese tech companies to list in Hong Kong? I think so. If we start to see a whole flurry of Chinese tech firms not listing in the United States as a result, which has been the most attractive market up until this point for Chinese tech firms, that, I think, will be a very interesting shift in how Chinese tech firms choose their strategy.
Certainly one to keep an eye out for, then. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani, thank you.
You're very welcome, Victoria.
Let's do the numbers. Despite Alibaba's strength today, Hong Kong's Hang Seng lost 0.3% due to domestic political uncertainty. Meanwhile, shares in Britain's De La Rue, which prints 1/3 of the world's cash, have lost 20% after the company announced it's at risk of collapse. To Australia, where the boss of Westpac, one of the country's biggest banks, will step down. That's as the company faces heavy fines from the Australian Financial Crime Agency. It alleges the bank failed to take adequate measures to prevent money laundering. The BBC's Phil Mercer has more from Sydney.
Brian Hartzer survived an emergency board meeting, but he couldn't withstand pressure from Australia's political leaders and angry shareholders. The US-born chief executive will step down after allegations Westpac committed 23 million breaches of anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing laws. Australian regulators also claimed the bank allowed suspicious payments from convicted child sex offenders. The chairman of Westpac, Lindsay Maxsted, will also quit his post.
Phil Mercer there. The global streaming war has led to a boom in the market for new shows, and it's become especially lucrative for one Irish city, as the BBC's Stephen Ryan reports.
Stand by to shoot, quiet all around, rolling, and action!
Well, you must be thrilled. Chance to make first contact with alien life.
The Netflix science fiction TV series Night Flyers, based on a novella by Game of Thrones writer George R.R. Martin, hasn't done well in the ratings, but it's helped transform the economy in the Irish city of Limerick. It took over an old Dell Computers building, and with a budget of more than $55 million, it's helped create new jobs. Jeff Bueller is the showrunner for Night Flyers.
One of the goals for us wasn't just to come in and use this space as a studio, but to start to build a well-trained, first-class film production crew.
Quiet, quiet, please. Still rolling. Cut there.
And I got the chance to go behind the scenes.
Do not board the ship.
Let's meet Amy Burke. Now in her 30s, she's been working as a trainee assistant director. She could earn around $750 a week on a shoot like this. By comparison, as an experienced stage manager, you'd be lucky if you could ever earn that much.
I've seen this building being derelict and having nothing in it, and now you see a whole studio that built up around it. And it's great to have it here in Limerick, and we don't have to leave the city for a career at the moment.
Leaving Troy Studios and crossing the River Shannon, the weather changes for the worse. I'm off to meet Mike Fitzpatrick, who's Dean of Limerick School of Art and Design. Some of his graduating students have found work at Troy Studios.
Like, that's a big, a couple of hundred creative people being brought into the city at a time. And the people who are here coming back to find work here again. If we could grow that combination of the traditional sort of like new industries plus the film industries, the feeling around Limerick has changed enormously.
After a Netflix release, Nightflyers wasn't renewed for a second season. But at Troy Studios, they've been busy with the construction of additional set space. Next on the slate is Foundation, a sci-fi series for the new Apple TV Plus platform with a price tag of more than $50 million. So, for people like Amy Burke, they'll have another chance to build a career closer to home. In Limerick, Ireland, I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
Finally, elections next month here in the UK, and people have until midnight tonight to register to vote. You have to provide an address to do that, so what about those who don't have one? Well, a beer factory in the city of Bristol has offered to let homeless voters use its address on registration forms. So far, 20 people sleeping rough or living in homeless shelters have signed up. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.